Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind boys. We are one day away from the comedy festival. We're all a bit out of it. We're all flat out. We're flat chat, aren't we?
Yeah, like a lizard drinking.
Oh, like a lizard playing Gex into the Gecko.
Oh, Jesus. We're still here. We're still present.
Next to me, we have Ben Vanell.
Hey, everyone. I'm here again. You can't get rid of me, even though you've tried. Your petitions will not work. Give up. Obama will not do it.
That would be the ultimate fan art for the show, a petition to get you to go away. Also sitting across from me, directly across from me,
if you guys are like
he's
bloody
really in a prime position to do a bit of Sharon Stone basic instinct. Right now. We've got Adam Knox. There it is. There's that sweet poon that I was talking about.
Imagine if that's how you found out I did have a vagina as well.
Yeah.
Well, any way to find out would be fine. It's 2016.
Well,
get over it.
Yeah.
There's no way of me finding it out that wouldn't be shocking.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
Well, unless I just...
Even if you saw his dick accidentally, it'd be kind of shocking.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
you have no idea.
I feel like it's not that shocking to see a dick anymore. Do you know what I mean?
I think the power of dick... I think we're going to see a lot more dicks on TV in the coming couple of years. Like, there's already been a couple on Game of Thrones, and apparently the rule is with penises...
They can't be erect.
They can't be erect because they're too threatening.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. I think we're going to see an erect penis on a mainstream show within the next 3 or 4 years.
I remember... Did you guys ever see that movie Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story?
Yeah,
really good.
Yeah, hilarious.
Was there a dick in that?
There's a bit in that. I'm pretty sure it's that movie where he's like sitting there. He's on the phone to someone when he's on tour.
Yes.
And a guy walks into frame with just huge dick on the screen. That was the first movie I saw, especially
forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah, but I think that, I feel like that was after. I feel like that was later.
I think they were both around the same, like 2008, right?
But this is my point where previously, seeing a dick, especially just in a comedy, used for comedic purposes, I was just sitting there going, whoa, wouldn't mind a bit of that.
Basic Instinct was actually pretty crazy because that was like 1990, right? And you're getting full minge.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, was Showgirls? There was full frontal, I think.
I've seen Showgirls,
I mean, that's a movie about stripping, so it kind of makes sense. My point is, like, just forgetting Sarah Marshall, it's just there.
Yeah,
as
he's
this,
eating
like,
fucking Fruit Loops or something, and there's no reason for it.
Yeah. And now, in the world of stand-up comedy, for anyone who listens who doesn't perhaps go to shows that often, it's become a big thing, getting your dick out
that's
on stage.
That's true,
It's bordering on being completely hack, is my thoughts on it, currently.
Yep. I agree.
There was, like, 2 years ago, there was, like, by some weird fluke, there were like two or three people in their shows that were all doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And now all of a sudden it's become the
Fancy
go-to.
Boy.
Yeah, Fancy Boy.
Well, we don't need to name them.
There was because there was a dick in the TV show.
Yeah.
Yes.
They had a brief shot of Jonathan Schuster's dick.
Yeah.
Right.
I can say it. It's public domain.
Well, in Fancy Boy's, I think, first live show, Henry Stone got his dick out and Schuster, I believe.
Yeah. I'm sick of seeing dicks.
Damien Power, I don't know if it's that year or the year before. He ended a solo stand-up show he was doing by getting his dick out.
Yeah.
How about you get some jokes out, mate?
It's
like my show.
Damien Power is very funny.
He's got,
Barry nominated my...
These guys are all very funny.
But
it is interesting for me anyway how quickly it went from like, well, I can't believe these guys are getting their dicks out on stage to just being like utterly bored by it. Like, isn't that funny that it's moved so quickly where it's now it's like... to me, now the least interesting thing you could do in a comedy show is to get your dick out on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a privilege.
Well, come to my show and you're going to love the first 15 minutes. It's all dicks all the time.
See, that, now that I would respect. Opening with the dick.
Just straight away.
Out, walking out, pants around your ankles like you're two and you've just been at a urinal. Doing it, pants around. That's funny. Pants around the ankles.
Yeah.
Having to waddle out with your dick out. Doing your opening 15 minutes, which in a stand-up show, you generally would try and make that kind of some of your strongest gear. Mm-hmm, you know, you mm-hmm. want to get people on side really early.
You so taking notes, Knox?
Not with my hands.
You're doing your most relatable gear about just like having a dog and airline food with your dick out.
Yeah.
And then once it starts, and then you get into, now it's like you pull your pants up and then that's like.
And you turn around and face away from the audience to pull your pants up, so you're bending down as well.
Oh, a full, and no, then the next 15 minutes. Yeah,
the fruit
full,
bowl? I've never heard of the fruit bowl.
Full brown eye.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see now. Someone parting the butt.
Oh. Yeah.
Actually, they were going to do that in Fancy Boy, and it was their next show they were going to do a bit of anus gear, and it was too much.
At this point, you need to take your intestines out of your body.
Yeah.
And show them to the crowd and go, am I funny yet?
Well, hey, like I said, it's the eve of the comedy festival.
Yeah.
And by the way, do you ever read interviews with like musos before they come here on tour in street press or whatever? Mm. And they'll go, we talked to this guy on the eve of his Australian tour.
Yes.
And it'll be like 2 weeks before the tour starts. It's like you're calling him up the night before the shows.
Yeah.
Why do they use that phrase all the time?
It sounds exciting. It reminds you of Christmas when you were a kid.
That's probably true.
For me.
Yeah.
And that was always very exciting.
It's a pump up.
I'd like to think that the reason isn't something that involves the general public, of which I am part, being super simple and easily fooled.
Yeah.
We'll just remind them of Christmas and then they'll want to read the article and buy tickets.
We spoke to Santa Claus
but
about
anyway,
whether he's looking forward to Bruce Springsteen.
There could be, we don't know, there could be people right now doing a dress run of their show.
Yeah.
Planning a bit of anus gear. We're just not going to know. In a week's time, we'll know
for sure.
It's
a very exciting time of year.
Mm. Yep.
We're on the eve of a very exciting time of year.
Now, I have an announcement based on some video game experience I've had over the last week.
Okay. Yeah.
I think we should shut this podcast down because so this is going to sound like a big humble brag or whatever, but over the last like 5 days, I caught 4 flights. I went to Tassie and back, and then I went to Brisbane and back. Yeah. And on each of those flights, for the entirety of their flights, all I did was play the mobile game Threes. That was all I did for a combined total of, what's that? It's nearly about 7 hours.
Yeah.
I'm back in a big way.
Yep.
And it's just made me realize it's the most I've ever played anything. It's the most I ever will play anything.
Yeah.
I'm still as interested in it now as I was day one. I've never had that with any other game before.
Yeah, right.
Let's just shut this down. No game is ever going to come out that's going to interest me half as much as Threes.
You know what?
It's the ultimate game.
Those sort of games are always the ones that take, like, I'd completely forgotten until this last week about a game that I genuinely would have put somewhere near 100 hours into.
Yeah. Yep.
And it was called something, like, I don't even remember the name. It's called like something something square logic. And I know that makes
well, it's really made an impression.
Yeah. No, I know, because I'd completely forgotten about it. And it was just something I'd do while I was like watching a TV show or something.
Yeah.
It was just like, it was so simple. Like, it was basically almost like a Sudoku, and you had these little sort of cordoned off areas of a grid and all the numbers in that thing had to add up to a certain amount or whatever. And it'd say like plus 4 or whatever. And the numbers in there had to add together. Then they had to be different numbers in a row. Or like if it was a 4x4 thing, you'd have to have 1, 2, 3, and 4 in every row and column in different orders and whatever. And it was just like a good sort of thing to do while you were doing something else.
Mm.
And I did it like often while I was thinking about homework or something while I was at uni or listening to lectures or whatever.
Yeah.
And I got up to like genuinely around 100 hours of that fucking game.
Yeah.
And completely forgot it existed for the last 7 years.
I'm like that with Threes. I'll go 6 months without playing it and then I'll just be on a flight.
Yeah.
But then now I'm so back in that it's not just like, you know, it's like, okay, a flight, well, there's not really that much else to do. Same with like on the tram or whatever.
Mm.
But I'm just sitting down on my couch to play it. Like I sit here in the house and just play it for half an hour. I sit in front of the PlayStation 4 that I spent good money on about 2 months ago and have played for, actually been so busy, I think I've maybe played the PS4 for about an hour all up.
Yeah,
that's probably being generous. Yeah, 45 minutes of that was with you when we bought Far Cry Primal.
Yeah,
I just, man, it's so good.
It's
so satisfying.
Yeah. And it is also like a fucking, there's a weird mental thing that goes in your head as well, because this is a weird time of year for us. We're all very stressed and busy.
Yep.
And there's a weird mental, like something as simple as threes.
Yeah.
Is like, you don't feel like the time is actually going.
It's like meditating. Yeah. I don't know why that sounded really weird, the cadence of that. But
it's like meditating.
Yeah, it is. Like it's the same kind of thing that I get. Yeah. It's like you're shutting off.
Yep.
It's you're really totally blocking everything else out. It's kind of like you're sort of focusing, but it's kind of mindless at the same time.
Yeah.
Like you can pretty easily play like 8 games in a row of threes without even really thinking about what you're doing.
Well, totally. I
just mindlessly
do that.
Go in and then you can go, oh, wait, hang on, I want to try and get a really high score now, so I'm going to be a bit strategic and look at the what tiles are coming up next.
Yeah. Well, I tend to do that with games generally. Like,
right.
I tend to use some games for that, like that repetitive, meditative kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like games like Just Cause 3 where, yes, it's got a bad story and it has a story, but and with GTA is like a massive example.
Anything where you can just go in and just fuck around and not have
and
to.
And like, I'll chuck on a podcast so I'm not even listening to the sound of the game. I'm just, you know, just driving around, blowing stuff up.
What, by the way, you can check on the iPhone how long you've used certain apps for, can't you?
Really?
Can you do that? Is that a thing?
I'm going to look that up right now.
Because if you can, we should all do that and see what game have we played the most.
There's something, though, about... Like,
I'm going to get my phone. Fill time while I do this.
There's the whole process of, like... Do you want to just stop for a second?
Yeah.
Just keep going.
Well, because...
All right. Well, there's something about the whole process of, like, sitting down at a TV like or a computer or whatever that feels like such a commitment that I never will play a game there unless I know I have, like, more than an hour.
Right.
Spare. Unless I know I have an hour at least spare, I won't do it.
Yeah, okay.
Because it just feels like you're setting up in a weird way.
But on a console game, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the same. I like to have a good amount of time to.
Totally.
It's but a good end of the day thing for me. You know, do a gig or whatever, come home.
Yeah.
If I don't have anything, if I don't have to get up early the next morning, it's like I can just lock in.
Yeah.
If I really get into this, I can just be here till 2.
Yeah, right.
I'm unwinding. This is good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love a late night game session.
Yeah.
Oh, man, so good.
But like, and then at the same time, like stuff on the phone, I will end up like putting the same amount of time into it.
Mm.
It just won't feel like there's some dumb mental trick of like eating somebody else's chips where you're like, but I'm not getting affected by this.
Yeah.
These aren't even my chips.
Have we worked out how to do this? Anyone listening who knows off the top of their head how to do this is probably infuriated.
Yeah, just tweet
right
us now, please. Yeah.
I know you can. I know you can do it.
Where would it be?
In storage?
Display and brightness?
this is such good
is
content.
Is it in Facebook?
I think it's about, I think it might be about maybe.
Usage.
Where's usage?
Oh, yeah. Where's usage?
General.
General.
General. No. General.
Okay, you guys keep looking. I'll Google it. And Ben, when you come to edit this, do not cut this bit out because this is great.
iTunes Wi-Fi sync.
To see
available.
How
erectile dysfunction clinic? Oh wait, no, that's a text message. Sorry.
Used.
Did they text you? Did they text you, or did you text them?
A little bit of both. We've had a bit of a back and forth. I'm going to go around to their house tonight. And
sounds like you haven't been having a bit of back and forth.
Very funny.
I'm definitely putting this in.
My boner works. Don't put it in.
Okay, hang on. I think we've...
It's a great boner.
Don't you say don't put it in?
If it weren't comedically hacky, I would show people, but it is.
I'm You'll loading up. To... Hang on. I've got a Daily Mail article here. It's just... It's currently... currently shooting its way down the old copper wires. what? Okay. New feature.
That was my modem. That
a new feature in iOS 9. Oh, okay, so.
There's battery usage.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Well, that's no good
I
at all.
I refuse to believe that.
To find the software. Okay, here we go. Shut up. Shut the fuck up. Go to the settings menu, then select battery before tapping the clock icon at the top right of the list of apps.
What the fuck?
Oh.
And let's just get your phones out and do this with us.
I see it.
Where
is
it?
Wait, where's battery?
I see it, everyone.
Where the fuck's battery?
Everyone, I see it.
Where? So I'm in settings.
It's in settings.
What did I just say?
It's a major menu option. Ooh. Battery.
Okay. Fucking hell. I've had Facebook on screen for 4.7 hours in the last week.
This is, Ben, where is it? Find it for me.
It's further down. It might be in...
This is such good content.
Yeah, it's there.
Oh, okay.
Idiot.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I haven't played a single game on my phone in the last week.
Me neither.
According to this.
Battery usage.
I don't tend to.
Last 24 hours.
I've had 4.7 hours of Facebook. Facebook's technically a game.
Yeah, I've been on Facebook 6.2 hours of
threes.
7 days.
5.1 hours on screen.
Fuck. See, so I use Facebook... My Facebook is 6.2 hours for the past week.
I've got 5.5. That's
so you played threes.
That's awful. This makes me feel sick. I'm actually going to make myself check this more often because it's really. This is disgusting.
Should we do our taxes on the podcast next?
Oh, this is just reminding me. I also played a game that was recommended to me called Skiing. It's like a old school. Do you remember those like old kind of Windows games like Downhill? What's it called? Downhill Ski or something?
Ski Free?
Maybe it was Ski Free.
I never had that one. I know what you mean, but that was never on any of the computers
It's basically a it's kind of just that basically on a touch screen. So you use your fingers to like move left and right. It's kind of like swipe, and you've got to clear each level by going around flags.
Right.
So you go left right.
Yep.
And I think what's kind of cool about it is it's just a fun game, but then for every like few levels, there's like a new kind of character that comes along, and he's kind of like you're not racing against him, but he's just taunting you. He's like, "So you made it this far, did you?
Right.
Well, you won't go any further because I'm the king of this mountain." But it's kind of like the dialogue for the characters is kind of just like cool and kind of funny in a way of like those like kind of old school kind of video game like bosses and characters where they would like taunt you and stuff, which doesn't really get done as much anymore in apps and even console games to a certain extent. Yeah. So it's kind of cool to see that as a little throwback, little detail that I really liked.
I used to like those little clips of like I can't remember any off the top of my head, but when the boss would go like, "You'll never get me," or whatever, just that like little
bottom,
bit of speech.
Yeah, bottom of the screen, bit of text, shitty animation of a head just with like three frames going, like scrolling text.
Yeah, like a Battletoads. The start of Battletoads was all that. Yeah.
Or like whenever in Street Fighter at the end of any match and there'd be the two little heads. And
I played Street Fighter 2 the other day for the first time in ages in a pub. And man, like when you, so the animation, like when you lose, which I did frequently, I'm really bad at Street Fighter 2, I found out. The your character, how they're all like they've been beaten. The drawing of them. Man, they are the most graphically like fucked up drawings. Like you just like your character has like fucking cuts under his eye and like one will be completely swollen over. It's fucking really graphic.
Well, I remember that from
you shouldn't get into street fights.
Wolfenstein had that as well. The more damage you took your little portrait would
Doom,
be all
Doom was the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I just had a sick fucking idea.
Start a street fight.
Let's go out and beat some people.
What if we did that for a live episode of this show? And everyone's like going, we're like, live filthy casual people, like, oh, they're going to do like the podcast, or they're going to like, they'll do commentary of a bad video game, or they'll play games. And it's literally just the three of us in a street fight. No shirts on. Crowd gathers around us. One of us dies.
More than willing. Because I would definitely win.
I would definitely win.
If you have VR. And you went up and looked at yourself in the mirror in the VR and your face was all fucking beaten up.
Oh, that's cool.
That'd freak your brain out a little bit. That'd
probably.
So what, you've just played VR Street Fighter and then it's like, okay, now to get the full experience, go into a mirror in your house.
No, like a mirror in the VR thing. You don't
like
need
in the changing room.
I thought you meant in real life.
That's good. That's just generally having.
I'm so stupid.
You put little fucking boxing gloves on the VR helmet and it beats you up as you get attacked in the game.
Well, we should talk about this because it just got announced, I think, since our last episode.
Yeah, I think
The release date and
all the prices.
Price points for VR. And, I've seen a bit of chatter online of people going like, "Oh, pretty expensive." I don't think it's that expensive.
No, it's crazy.
Not for what it is.
For VR.
Yeah.
Like, it's the price of a console. Yeah. It's a fucking virtual reality headset.
Yeah.
Maybe this
is something where, like, if you're like 15, you're like, "Well, this is a lot of money because the world's been amazing ever since I was born."
Well, sure. I mean, I guess, but when you're younger, I mean, everything's a lot of money, I guess.
Well, because we were there the first time they sort of tickled with VR. And like in the early 90s.
Not sure about that phrasing.
Is VR a nickname for your prostate?
No, the first time they started fiddling with VR, it was like the early 90s and it was Lawnmower Man. And I remember, we all remember being inside Lawnmower Man at the time, just messing
Did
about
with
VR.
Did you fuck your gardener?
But like that
Jim's
first
pedophiles.
It was always such a fucking futuristic, fucking crazy, non-existent thing.
Yeah, well, and like Tron and all that kind of stuff, yeah.
The fact that a VR headset is coming out and it's under $1,000, I'm like, this is amazing.
It's insane.
What is going on?
I could watch that Simpsons 3D episode the way it was intended to be watched.
I don't know. Like, Yeah, I'm kind of hoping, budget permitting, I'm pretty keen to get in on the ground floor of this.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that's kind of, it's, you know, shaky territory of if it will pan out and be any good, but I don't know, I kind of... It's exciting that it is. I think it's very accessible for what
like
it is.
It feels like such a fucking crazy moment in history or something as well. Yeah. Like,
it's, kind of hard to really appreciate it, I think.
Yeah.
We're all kind of like still have the picture of like in our heads of like virtual reality.
Yeah.
And we're still yet to match it up with
this is where shit starts going wrong.
Yeah.
This is it. This is the bit where like this is the fucking – that bit in the Matrix – well, it's the Matrix, I guess is what I mean. You know that bit in the Matrix where they're inside that big computer?
You know that 90-minute bit in the Matrix?
The other thing that's cool about it and kind of justifies the price in my head a little bit is that if you put that on, it simulates having a massive TV.
Yeah, I guess so.
Even with stuff that isn't VR. So you think about how much a big TV it costs. That's at least $900.
Yep.
So you're paying the same thing and you got a VR headset.
Here's the thing, though, and, you know, me saying I'll get it on the day one, like that's some kind of ringing endorsement. This is the wisdom of someone who pre-ordered a Wii U. So, you know, but it kind of is the same thing where it's sort of like, well,
you've got crazy
who cares?
You've got Beanie Babies everywhere in here.
Check out my Garbage Pail Kids card. I think it just does come down to, you know, our game's going to support it. Like, it really just doesn't matter how good the tech is. Yeah. I mean, the gamepad in theory should have revolutionized the console gaming
the
experience.
Wii U one, you're
so, the Wii U. Yeah. There's so many cool things you could do with it. Literally, not a single one of them has been utilized.
Well, because nobody gave a shit because Nintendo was fucked over all, like, the third party people.
I mean, this is the difference. PlayStation. They have like amazing third party support.
And it seems like everyone's into the idea of VR across the board.
That's
like.
True.
But I kind of feel like I'm trying to think like what for me, what would be the ideal VR? Well, for me, the ideal VR experience would just be like threes. Like I'm just in threes. Yeah. I'm one of the tiles.
There's just fucking cards with numbers on
them. You're just looking down at a table
them.
And you're...
I'm holding a VR phone.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But it doesn't count to my overall time of how much I've used it on my phone.
So
I don't have to feel guilty about it when I go.
Mine would be Basic Instinct the game.
Oh.
If I could get right in there, right up and just look at all in three dimensions. All
and her
up.
Fantastic performance.
Yeah.
I have this weird feeling with VR... Because with motion control and the Wii, that was hyped. That was just like
here
pure
we go.
Hype. Pure
you're in the game.
Hype.
It's this is it. Yep. This is the future.
And this,
VR, this is kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, VR. It doesn't have that kind of hype feeling around it. VR is like,
Is it maybe because we've been? I think it's a combination of we've all been burnt too many times before by these supposed revolutions in games, and they're not panning out. Well, because we've been in all. Mass consumed media, we've been predicting VR for over 30 years now.
Yep.
So we're all just like, okay, fuck, it's here. Who cares? Let's just get it on the shelves and let's see.
And I feel like with all the stuff like the Wii U gamepad and everything, a lot of the hype came from people going like, fucking imagine the possibilities. Imagine what you could do.
Yep.
But with VR, they've kind of shown us like, hey, here's what we can do.
Exactly. I think VR, it's already legit in a way where, like I think you said, Nox, like, this is where all the weird shit starts happening. Like, this is where we start discovering that human perception can be fucked with.
Totally. Yeah. And this is the next bit where they need to refigure out how to fucking control games and shit.
Yes.
Because
you
can't, like, it's the same as, like, when sort of 3D games started happening and they needed to refigure out how to make them work with the stick and everything.
Here's what I want out of VR. Like, there's been a lot of people going, like, you know, all the stuff that's kind of launching with it is just tech demos and will it ever kind of, hopefully it kind of goes beyond that. I kind of would be okay with it just being cool little quick experiences.
Yeah.
If it was things like, if all it ever was, if the peaks that it reached was just like Firewatch, little 5-hour games where you're actually in the world and looking around.
Yeah. Yep.
I think I'd be okay with
that's
that.
Still really cool.
I don't know that I would ever want like a... You
like
know,
a
like
a Raider
Fallout
or a
Tomb Raider or a Grand Theft Auto, where I'm in this huge world, and it's like those.
Do want that.
Really,
that's what I want.
To me, that would be.
I
want to
be Indiana Jones, motherfucker.
Yeah, but sure, you could be Indiana Jones, but in an on rails. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, I don't want a full open world, crazy 3D thing that is. Well, those games just on their own are already quite overwhelming because there's so much going on.
Mm.
I don't then need to be in it and looking around.
Totally.
To me, that's kind of like VR, it's would too
still,
much.
Yeah. VR would still be justified if it was just fucking roller coasters and pornography forever.
Yeah.
If
yeah,
that's
literally.
All it turns out to be, then that's cool. But
you know, like, one of my favorite games was growing up, Pokemon Snap. Did you ever play that?
Yes. Fuck yeah. Yeah. VR Pokemon Snap.
VR
would
Pokemon
be
Snap would be it's never going to happen because it's PlayStation, point. But that would be awesome.
But do fucking Pokemon Snap, but just with normal animals or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or go like, hey, it's Grokemon Snap. Look at all these Grokemon. Here's Skrikachu. Just go fucking. Or
if they did like episodic, like kind of on rail stuff, like, an Indiana Jones style thing where, you're in it, but it's not like this intense
and you just 70
hour campaign.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's also the possibility of VR. Movies or just storytelling.
Yeah.
Like,
well, the porno industry is already starting to get on board.
Yep.
And I'll be honest, that's day one. That's something I'm going to be checking out.
Absolutely.
Curiosity purely. Like,
porn and sport are the two things that have always led technological innovation, though.
Yeah.
Like, they were the first things to be like, hey, we've got multiple camera angles on a DVD. The first things to go high definition.
Yep.
The
that's
first
true.
Things to do most of that shit. So. Yeah. Good on you, pornography and sport.
So that probably, you saying that's an indicator that it's going to be... That
definitely. The fact
around.
That they're getting on board means that... Like, at the same time, they got on board with fucking 3D TVs and Betamax and bullshit. So, like, who knows? They get on
what
board
if
with
they,
everything.
What if at the last minute they go... PlayStation go, oh, fuck, this isn't realistic. $580 or whatever it is. We can't afford to make this tech. So they just have to scale it back and it literally just turns into the Virtual Boy. Like it's all of it is just red and black.
Well, because they've got some things where like you can't like have things go under like 60 frames per second. Well, I think it's actually meant to be like 90 or like 140 or something.
Right.
Or else you will start to get motion sickness.
Well, here's the next thing. Is this gonna make people physically sick?
I kind of want
psychologically
it to, man.
Sick.
That'd
because
be
we just don't know. I'm sure. I mean, of course, they're doing testing on it, but that's like,
but that's
such
want.
A small sample size that we're not gonna know until it goes
totally.
Full general
public. I definitely think the psychological thing will be really.
But that's
interesting.
It. I want that fucking VR game that makes me actually feel like I've died.
Yeah.
I want to act like if it makes me go like if my body deciphers what's happening in my face. As me having jumped off a building, and I couldn't have said
in
that
your
better.
Face. But, you mean in your brain?
No. I mean my face.
Okay.
But no, it's. I really want to fuck with it.
Yeah, I'm really curious.
I will say, like, this is kind of a bit of a serious point to bring up. But just thinking then, while you were fucking going on about killing yourself, I zoned out for a minute and thinking about the implications of VR porn is. Is kind of a little scary just when you were saying psychologically what it'll do to people.
Man.
Because,
yeah.
like, there's already porn just in and of itself. And I think we've talked about this on the show before. It's kind
have
of.
We, it's a corruptible influence.
It has kind of fucked. Just talking to people who are a bit younger than me who grew up with guys in the time of having complete easy access to porn. It's fucked up a lot of guys' idea of sexuality and what sex with someone is like. And I feel like. VR, easy access to VR porn and like being in it is gonna, like people that are, I'm not saying I'm anti-porn or anything like that, but I do think there is a sort of person that is very easily corrupted and led astray by it, that it's already as it is, that it's just gonna do fucking more damage to. And that's, I mean, that's kind of concerning. That's kind of a troubling
definitely
thing.
Yeah.
It is. And
I feel like I'm sitting opposite one of those people right now.
It's a cross I'm going to have to bear. No, I like that, like, without wanting to sound too callous, that sort of shit is unavoidable.
That's true. Yeah, those people are out there and they're finding...
You
they're
kind of
finding,
just can't even take it into consideration in a weird way. Other than, like, you know, you need rating classifications, that sort of shit.
Yep.
Don't let people who are too young get their hands on it, all of that.
I'm sure there were...
You can't, like, legislate against people being sociopaths. Like,
yeah.
It's not even sociopaths. Like, you can get addicted to porn and all that sort of shit. Like, that happens. I've
That's
seen
true.
Documentaries. I know, well, the
Would
world.
Would you say you're addicted to documentaries?
I have a massive I can't stop masturbating to documentaries. Fahrenheit 9/11 just really.
I can't stop masturbating to documentaries about people having sex. By the way, speaking of which, I wanted to talk about this very quickly because we were sort of saying before.
You say, I had sex the other day. Just wanted to bring it up. See you later.
I filmed it. Do you want to watch?
We frequently we go off on tangents on this show about other media that we're consuming. I... watched a show the other day that a friend recommended to me. Mm. It's in its sixth season now. I'd never heard of it before. I don't know how this escaped under my radar.
Yeah. Seinfeld.
It's a Showtime series. It's a reality series called Gigolos, and it's about gigolos.
Oh, I think that just went up on Stan or Netflix. Yeah,
right. Yeah, yeah. And it is, so I watched the first episode. It's basically a softcore porno.
Yeah,
it
right.
is insane. Wow. It is a fascinating watch. I really recommend going in if you're looking
I've
for
I've seen a documentary about a European gigolo. His name was like Bruce, something like that.
Moose.
Juice.
Okay.
Juice, yeah. That's not a name.
Juice Bigelow.
Mm-hmm.
Male gigolo.
I thought you said you saw a European one.
I thought you said he was European.
He went to Europe after the first documentary. I'm sick of talking about this.
You sound like you're just sick.
From the first word of that sentence, I went, this is not going to end well for you, Knox.
Yeah, I am going to retreat back to my virtual pornography
world. Hey, this is a good ad for our comedy festival shows. Like, clearly, we've used all the good stuff is being funneled into those hours, yeah.
that
hours of comedy.
That is 100%
that we're
true. Yeah. We have nothing left.
If we're talking about other stuff we've done, because I haven't really played any games, but I did watch Daredevil.
Oh, yeah.
Which might cross over with some people's interests.
Totally. Yeah. I haven't watched it yet, but did you watch the entire second season?
Yeah, I did. I have done now. Have you watched the first series, either of
you?
I am about halfway through the first.
What do you think of it?
As I was watching it, I was like, this is okay. And then
got
sort
bored.
Of that, it's that's the ultimate, you know, you sort of go, you think you're enjoying something and then all of a sudden you go, oh, I stopped watching that for 6 months and didn't even notice.
Totally.
So clearly it wasn't gripping me as much.
I watched the entire first season pretty much just binged it. And then the day after was like, I wasn't very good.
Yeah, I didn't really like the first series either.
Yeah.
But I did finish the first series.
Yeah.
Does it end with... Yeah.
Fucking Vincent D'Onofrio, fat Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah, I did. Well, that's a good mark on it that I'd finished the series.
Totally. I felt exactly the same way as both of you about the first series.
What happens? Yeah. I can't remember. It wasn't even that long ago.
He just fights him.
Yeah, he just beats him up and ends up in jail. Fat Vincent D'Onofrio.
In the first series?
Yeah.
I thought he... Okay, maybe I didn't finish it. The last scene I remember watching was like him in an art gallery and he's like...
Oh, that's like when he gets introduced.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like the fourth episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm up to the fourth episode.
Well, so I felt the same way. I didn't really like the first series. This second series is way better.
Okay.
Especially like the first four episodes
are
fucking awesome.
Okay.
And then it gets a little worse for the rest of it, but the first four are really great.
Hmm.
Either of you House of Cards people?
No,
because I'm like
Knox is.
I halfway
through season four and I'm enjoying it.
Real good,
deal.
Way better than the third one.
Yeah, so I didn't like the third and I kind of thought, oh, okay, here we go. Like I wasn't excited for the fourth because I just felt like, okay, spoiler about the third season.
I'm never going to watch this show.
Okay, who cares? the Claire leaving.
Yeah.
I just thought that's kind of tropey. Like someone splitting up at the end of a season is a cliffhanger.
Totally.
For me, it's a little bit like it's up there with bringing in a baby. It's a little bit like, oh boy, here
we
go.
But part of the reason is that generally the next series wraps that back up and they're like, okay, we're back together after the first episode.
But so far, I sort of thought, oh man, they're treading water here. It's been great so far. I think I'm bang on halfway through. Maybe, but it's
House of Cards and Daredevil. You don't even really need to watch the first series of Daredevil. Oh, but stuff comes back. I don't know. Do what you want with your lives.
Yeah, I've been watching 11/22/63.
Oh, is that good?
It's great.
Yeah,
yeah.
I got really on the old. That's on the old list. It's on the old back burner.
It's really good. Franco's great in it. It's pretty well directed. It's real. It starts off like it sets up the premise. Just like bang, bang, bang. Like
okay,
Chris Cooper is like this diner. Runs a diner.
Yeah.
And like Franco's there.
So you mean he just likes to eat?
he's a diner. A manager, I guess. But yeah, Franco's there having lunch and like they're mates. And Chris Cooper kind of goes out the back and comes back. And he's like a different guy. And he's like been gone for a couple of years.
I do like that when they just get into. This is what frustrates me about some things. So you're going in as a viewer, generally. You know a bit of the premise.
Yeah.
You sort of know what it's going to be about.
Yeah.
When they spend a couple of episodes fucking around, setting up this thing, and it's the thing in like any kind of like body swap movie or whatever.
Yeah.
Where you're watching like half an hour of people go, what's happening? And you know you have all the information.
Yeah,
you're like, just get into the good stuff. Just get into using that person's body to fuck around with stuff.
Yeah.
Like that is, and I know they have to do it because that's what you would be doing. You'd be going, what is happening? But like, this thing of
taking
ages to set something up.
if you body swapped with someone right now, you go like, oh, Freaky Friday, okay.
Oh, like in that movie, yeah.
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 That's what no one ever does. Like,
totally. Oh. Like, they should just, you're right. Like, because it is less realistic. And like in every fucking zombie movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Nobody has ever heard of a zombie
yes.
in all of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
But like, if it happened now, you go, oh, zombies are now. Yeah.
But what's more annoying, because I hate it in movies when people go, hey, man, this isn't a film, this is real life. Like, just don't have that in there.
Yeah.
Surely there's a way of expressing what you want to express without saying that it's not a movie.
Any form of disbelief of the situation from a character tends to be kind of frustrating, though. Did you ever see It Follows?
No.
It fucking sucks. And part of the reason is because, so it's about like this sex ghost that if you have sex with somebody, you pass on the ghost to the next person. And this ghost
it's
will
not
walk.
A VR thing, by the way. It'll,
this ghost will walk after you until it catches you and kills you.
Must be my
basically. She'll be back. But
by the way, have we talked about this on the show? That is the thing that me and Ben did pretty much every 10 minutes of every day that we were in Japan.
Yes.
Everything we saw, we'd go, "No, it must be my ex-girlfriend."
Oh, really?
And then the other person has to go, "Really? In what way?" And then you have to explain in what way a fucking stop sign.
So it was holding me back from progressing in life.
She never let me run into intersections. It's a very fun game.
It's very
it
good.
Follows reminds me of my ex-girlfriend in the way that it fucking took forever to get out of it, and I hated it. That's not true, but I didn't like the movie.
Yeah.
But all the characters in it basically just, they see the fucking effects of this ghost. They see it fucking throwing chairs and shit, and then 20 minutes later they're
sounds like a great
there's
movie.
Probably not a ghost. And it's so annoying.
Yeah. Well, this like the log line for this JFK series is James Franco goes back in time to try and stop JFK being assassinated.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So like the start of the first episode, the guy, Chris Cooper's like, hey, this closet leads to 1960. And Franco's like, are you fucking insane? And he's like, just go through it and find out. And so he goes through and he goes back to 1960. He's like, right. Well, I guess he was right.
It's Goodnight, Sweetheart.
Yeah. And he's not walking around going, whoa, you're fucking with me, man. Why are you dressed in these old-timey clothes?
Hey, how come I'm at a Beatles convention?
All of it, when it takes him so long. Like, because you would go in and you'd go, well, this is fucked up.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
But you would know. You would just feel like.
It's definitely happening. I'm definitely in. It's not like I'm in some fucking weird theme park.
Yeah.
I'm freaking out because it's
crazy.
It's happening, but it is definitely
you're
happening.
Not going to walk up to that first zombie and go, excuse me, sir, and fucking God damn it.
That would be a great movie. A guy where it's like everything's going on at once.
And he never understands.
He's back in time. He's in someone else's body and there's zombies everywhere.
Yeah.
And the whole movie is him just thinking that it's like some. It's an elaborate prank. Yeah, it's an hour and a half where he never works it out what's going on.
Except for one thing where straight away he goes, oh, that must have been Godzilla. And just gets one of them straight away.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea for a film. Everything,
cut this bit out.
Everything happens, everything's happening at once.
That must have been. Oh, that's kind of like Cabin in the Woods. You ever seen that?
That's just horror tropes. Yeah. This could be the ultimate movie.
But that again, isn't that at the end? It's like, oh no, it's not. None of this stuff is real. This is just a bunch of people in a room fucking with you.
Yeah.
That annoyed me about that.
Let's do that though. Let's take all the popular movies of the time and crush them together and parody them. We'll call it Meet the Spartans. That's what we've just come up with.
No, not really.
We're geniuses.
Guy in a zombie apocalypse and he's in someone else's body.
Yep.
So that's funny already.
Yep. And he's back in time.
And for some reason it's like the stakes are in any way changed by the zombie apocalypse happening in 1960.
Yeah. Except then you get to put like Gimme Shelter over it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's the only reason. Yeah, we just set it in a time period that we think has the best mood. So that the soundtrack is really good.
That'd be great.
And there's a character that's constantly breaking the fourth wall, Frank Underwood style, just looking into the
whenever camera. Whenever he's on screen, he's always looking at the camera.
Yeah.
That's one thing. I don't mind it in House of Cards, but, you know, people talk about how it's this, like, sophisticated, great series.
Yeah.
You have a guy talking into the camera.
Yeah. He's fucking Ferris Bueller.
Like, how artistic and, like, intelligent can something be?
Malcolm in the Middle, House of Cards.
Yeah, when you literally have to have a character talking to the audience and going, by the way, boys and girls, this is what's going on right now.
The Big Short, anyone?
The Big Short's a good movie.
House of Cards is a good series. So
it's a weird thing where it's like, I'm actually fine with this and I really like it. But like, just
it feels like
it,
he's your mate. He's talking
just assessing
to
it for what. But then also, they had this like, there was basically a whole series where he like didn't do it.
Right.
He barely did it. He does it heaps at the start of the first season.
He doesn't do it in the fourth.
Oh, he's back. He's doing it a bit.
He does it a couple of times. Oh, at the end, it's... oh, I won't tell you.
Okay. He's back to doing it a little bit. You know what I hated? The fucking... When he's in the coma...
At the end, he reaches his hand through the screen, actually.
When his dream sequences when he's in the coma.
Yeah, it's very... Nah, they're good.
They're so on the nose.
No, they get good.
No, he's out of the coma.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you didn't like him then.
I just didn't like him. It's like basically Ben and anyone else who's now having it spoiled for them.
Yep.
He's fucked over a bunch of people. He's killed a couple people.
Yeah.
And he's in a coma and it's like his dreams are just like the people that he's killed. He's in a room and they come in and they're like, fucking, here he is. And it's like them getting revenge.
But that's what
happens. It's so on the nose. You wouldn't literally just have dreams about these two specific people.
I can tell you right now. Every person you've killed, they come to you in your dreams. Can I tell you what dream I've been having lately?
Yeah, I'll tell you. I had a good one this morning too.
What the fuck is this podcast? We've because of the comedy festival, I've literally just like my brain isn't even coming up with any like clever metaphors or anything.
Yeah.
It's just been dreams of me standing on stage.
But enough about your show.
It's been me standing on stage doing a bad show for
I've had that crowd. Yeah. I've had that constantly. In fact, you know what? I stopped having that about 2 years ago, which I think is maybe, I don't know,
well, that's a
point that I've come to in my career, inverted commas.
No.
But yeah, the anxiety dreams in the lead up to
and
festival.
And it's genuinely, it's been like old teachers in the crowd like comedians I respect.
My ones are, it's one of
so
two.
So Tommy and I were there?
Because
we taught him everything he knows.
Yeah.
It's one of two. It's either, it's opening night.
Yeah.
And I literally have not written a single thing. I have no material.
That was
so I get up in the morning and it's like, fuck, I've got nothing. I actually don't have a show. But it's okay. I have a whole day. It's not going to be great, but I can just think of an hour of stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Cut to 3 hours before the show, I'm just sitting there watching other people's shows. I'm just in the audience going, what are you doing? This is an hour that's now gone. It's okay. After this, I've got 2 hours before my show. I'll just sit there and I'll just make notes of things in my life that I can talk about.
Yep.
Cut to me then just in another show. Literally just me making these bizarre decisions that are stressing me out even though there's things that I've chosen completely voluntarily to do. The other big anxiety one is I'm at a big gig and something about the room is just wrong. Like the microphone cord is like a foot long or something. Yeah. So I'm like on the ground having to like crouch down and talk into it. Or the stage is a bouncy castle that's kind of... And the volume to which it's inflated.
Have you seen your venue yet? Because that's not a dream.
Is that what's happening? Yeah. Oh, no. A bouncy castle where the...
Also, it's 1963.
The how much it's inflated keeps constantly changing. Yeah. So I can never get a proper foothold.
Yeah.
But you know what I had last night, which I haven't had for a while?
Yeah.
I had this morning, I should say.
Sex. Sorry. Yeah.
Crying in the dream and waking up and you're still crying.
You know? Oh, yeah. Wow.
I love it. It's actually...
I've never had that.
That's the only way I can cry.
It's kind of a gnarly way to start the day.
Yeah.
Because it's always tied to something. It's always something that is... that
is
I have
really fucked up.
That is from a real life thing.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not just like you're crying over something imaginary. It's something that like my constant one is like my grandpa's funeral.
Yeah.
So I'm crying, it's current in the dream and I wake up and I'm still crying and you have that initial thing. But then you go, oh, I've dealt with this. Like so it's actually fine. Like I'm actually not upset about this anymore. And so you to kind of like shake to still be crying but have mentally shaking yourself out of it is kind of there's something really kind of therapeutic and it's like you wake up in this really intense thing and it's like, oh, I can take on anything today.
Yeah.
I think Spyro 3 was where the series went off the rails.
Have you ever been having a sex dream and you're about to come and you wake up and you're crying?
I actually don't ever really have any sex dreams.
I've never had a wet dream.
I don't remember the
last. You've never had a wet dream?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've had wet bus rides.
I've never had a wet dream.
I've had a wet having my dick in my hand and moving my hand back and forth for ages until stuff comes out.
I've had like sexual dreams. I've just never done a cum while I'm dreaming.
Wow. Not even when you were like a teen.
Yeah,
like
when you're like 13 or something.
I definitely have never. I would remember.
What about you, Knox?
When I was like a younger teenager, I'm pretty sure. I think only maybe once or twice.
Right.
But
it's pretty great stuff, I gotta say. Do you reckon there's reviews for Wet Dreams on like Yelp?
Oh fuck yeah, that'd be great. I want to find a Wet Dream forum.
There should be like a review site that's not just for like, you know, restaurants or hotels or whatever. That's just for life experiences. Yeah, you know what I mean? Getting a handy in a disabled toilet. Not for me. Just felt guilty about being there at the expense of someone who kind of really needed it. One star.
Jesus Christ.
What? That's not a real life one for me. I'm just like, you know, an example of like.
Yeah, okay.
Just an example, no? Just an example.
All right. Oh.
I don't know that I like being painted as the most fucked up one in this room. Well. I'm not enjoying this at all. You've never had a wet dream. Okay, yeah. Well, you know what, listeners, write in. Tell us about your wet dream experience.
Tell me what that means.
Guys, I reckon we should wrap it up. This is a clear indicator that we should wrap it up.
Like a couple of things that are actually relevant that maybe we should quickly bring up.
Okay.
They're going to shut down production of the Wii U at the end of the year.
Yep. Yes.
That's, which would speak to this
that means
rumor.
The NX is coming out
if
this year.
If it's coming out this year, they got to announce that bitch.
Yeah.
They've got to. Do you reckon they're holding out for an E3? Or a,
well, it's gotta be.
So when is E3?
E3 is July, I believe.
So there's been
that makes sense.
There's been talk of both Microsoft and Sony both going like, hey, we've got a PlayStation like 4.5.
Oh, yeah, I've heard
right.
that.
And that sort of stuff. Maybe Nintendo knows something about that.
Yeah.
And is waiting to sort of undercut those announcements.
I just feel like if it's a new system, I know they don't really play the game with E3 anymore. But I mean, E3 is shareholder start. Like it's
totally.
You'd be dumb to not announce if it's a new system.
Well, and that's when all the like big mainstream news channels go like news from the world of video games.
Even
this
if they did
week.
Just a Nintendo Direct at the same time as E3,
which they do now. They generally do that like the week, the first,
like the day before,
the day before.
Yeah, right.
But if it's coming out at the end of the year. They've got to have it on that show floor. Surely to God, they've got to be having it.
Yep.
People be able to play it.
I imagine if they did that thing of like, and you'll be able to get it in shops next week. Kaboom.
Beyonce style.
Yeah.
If they,
actually, that
you
would be
interesting.
You can
download an NX right now.
Yeah. That would be really interesting to see that as a theory. No hype, no lead time. Just it's just coming out in a week.
But
I would love to see that.
I don't know how production and shit works. Like I've never owned a factory or
I mean,
a warehouse.
They could,
wait, what? You've never owned a factory or a warehouse?
No.
I am shocked.
They would have
had
a hard
wet dream before.
I guess they would have a hard time keeping that under wraps.
Are you guys going to tease me because I've never had a wet dream?
I think it's lamer to have had a wet dream. I don't really know which one's cool.
I just think it's a bizarre thing for your body to have not done. I think, it's – anyway, whatever. We're into deep – this is for our offshoot human sciences podcast.
Yeah, truly filthy casuals.
Oh.
That would be really, really cool if
that'd
they
be
did
sick.
That.
I don't know how that stuff works because it works well for digital stuff because you can just be sitting there and go, oh, I'll download that
you can
now.
Just, but yeah, if you've got a
– but whether people
they would
make,
have to go into production and manufacturing and how are you going to get that many
– and do
that,
people
then
even
you're involving,
make the decision to go out and buy something within a week, when especially when it's going to cost like $500 or whatever,
right.
probably.
Maybe, but maybe it's just more of a long-term thing. It's like just have it out there. You know, you might get some people in a week's time going, boom. Your early adopters and your real fanatics, they're going to get something day one, whether it's announced in 6 months
like
or 1 week.
iPhones and shit these days, it seems like it's about a month's turnaround before when they're announced to when they're out.
It's that's still pretty quick though, especially in relation
to
video games. That's very quick.
Go for that.
Yeah. That would be a cool move. And just like, okay, well, we know the diehards are going to go out day one. Regardless of what the lead time is, maybe your general public, like your man on the street, it's going to take them a little while. But you know what? I think that's true. I think if something is announced within 6 months, your man on the street, your very casual gamer, they're still not getting it day one. I think the same volume of people are going to get it day one. They're still going to wait it out. And like they're not, if you're not reading the websites and stuff every day, it takes a little while to see it in the shops and see a demo or see a big game come out. So maybe it doesn't make any difference to sales.
Yeah.
Who knows? And it could be that least of all Nintendo knows because they are a wacky bunch of weirdos. So
just get that app out. Just get that Miitomo app out where we can all chat to each other on our phones. Yeah. That's what I'm waiting for.
And one last thing. Someone asked if we were playing, is it Sundew Valley or Stardew Valley?
Oh, yeah. We talked about it a week or two ago.
Yeah. I really want to give that a go after the comedy festival.
Exactly.
Stuff.
We don't have the time to pour into what apparently is a very time-heavy game.
The next, like, 4 weeks, we're doing fucking comedy festival shows, so forgive us if we're a little light on the video game stuff.
But we'll at the same time, there's people around.
I'm still going to be having wet dreams. And yeah, there's a bunch of people in town.
There's a bunch of people in town who, you know, maybe we can just go a bit more, you know, just get some people in, just talk a bit more retro stuff and experiences with games and stuff. There's a bunch of comedians that are doing a FIFA tournament that we're going to go along and do something for.
Yeah.
They've asked us to come and I think either commentate it or do exit interviews with people who've played. But that'll be fun. So we'll take the gear. That's on Easter Monday. We'll take our gear along and do something at that because there's a bunch of internationals and local guys all playing against each other.
Yeah.
FIFA not so much for me, but it's still in the world of games. So, you know, you guys, FIFA guys or?
A little bit. A little bit.
Play a bit of FIFA.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, go fuck yourselves. I think we should wrap it up here. That is it for Filthy Casuals this week. So, yeah, if you're in Melbourne, come check out our shows. I am every night except Mondays from March 24 until April 17 at the Downstairs Lounge at the Grand Mercure, 8:45. My show is called Little Golden Dasilo. You can get tickets at the Comedy Web. Comedy Festival website or TommyDasilo.com. Use guys.
We're doing a show called Chimp Cop Nights. It's a very good, weird sketch comedy play thing that we're putting together, and it's going to be really good. Knox and I are in it along with Timothy Clark and my sister, Rosie.
My sister!
We're on April 2nd till 16th, 10:15 p.m. at the Imperial Hotel. Tickets at the Comedy Festival website or at the door.
And I've got a stand-up show called Nothing Important Has Happened to Me. My name is Adam Knox. It goes from the 3rd of April until the 17th of April at the Imperial Hotel as well at 6 p.m.
You're going to wake up the morning of April 3rd having not written it. And
everything's a bouncy castle.
Exactly. But still riding the wave of that, you know, that opening night of Chimp Cop that you guys have done the night before.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Baby, it's going to be a fun time for everyone.
I can't believe you're having anxiety dreams when you're still like 2 weeks away from opening.
Oh, no. It's come see my show.
But I guess the 2 week point is like that's critical. You know, I think like the night before, you just resign to it. Whatever's happening is
happening. I'm reaching the point of no return where I have to decide on what's in it and what's not.
Well, because 2 weeks is like you almost have – if you feel like you're on top of it, it's like, but I've still got all this time.
Yeah.
This is what I was saying to someone before. Like, I started work on this show earlier than I've ever started working on a show. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to be doing all this shit in the last week. I'm going to really pace myself and just have it all taken care of.
Yeah.
Just be able to focus on uni and not worrying. It doesn't matter.
No.
You just use all the time you have. You still end up
it's
working
not the way
until
it works.
The day
you're
going
to be going up until the last 10 minutes before the show.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the
literally
way it
what's happening this week.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
But they're all going to be good, so come see them. That makes us sound underprepared.
It's going to be great. It's
if anything, I'm too prepared.
We're perfectionists. We're constantly tweaking.
I'm tweaking.
Filthy Casuals on Facebook, Filthy Cas Pod on Twitter, Filthy Casuals.podcast. Filthy-casuals.pod at Gmail.
Yep.
God damn it. One of these days I'll work.
You were so close.
I know, I was so close.
You just had to stop talking.
Guys, thank you for listening. And as we always say here at Filthy Casuals.
Ooh, baby, I love to play.
Video games.
That
was good.
Okay, that's the official one from now on.
All right.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.